join the conversation. 504-260-0995. Also, reach us through the Winning at Life app.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. You can go ahead and pull up the numbers if you want to. It's a little bit of a bloodbath. I don't want to oversell it there, but there is a whole lot of bread. And we'll explain what the heck's going on, because there's a lot going on, apparently. And also, we're going to touch on some things that you need to look at, financially speaking, before the end of the year. This is sort of a window of opportunity here. The last month of every year gives you the chance to do a few things, take care of some financial business. We'll run through that list. But if you have a financial situation, Gregory's here live, 504-260-0995. Live, it's December 14th. I know we had a few best ofs thrown in there, and Gregory's been traveling a little bit, so we've been also doing a lot of highlight reels. No highlight reels tonight. You're the highlight reel, 504-260-0995. Any stories from your travels, Gregory? I always like to just throw that out there when you get back from a financial event.
Yeah, I was up in New York City for a few days, had a business conference up there. What was interesting, you know, we would define it as a leadership conference, leadership slash business conference. And it was really interesting. On Monday, we actually toured West Point Academy and walked the grounds and the monuments and such, and just gave me an entirely different view of what West Point means. So it means a lot more to me today, and what they developed there. And yeah, it's a grueling way to go to school, but it, you know, if you want to be ready for life, or you want your kids ready for life and get that congressional appointment and qualify to go there, it is something. But it is so much history about our country. So, you know, it was a powerful day. And then we had a brigadier general retired talk to us about leadership. Don Yeager talked to us about that and culture. And then the general finished up the day. So that was a pretty big day for that. And New York's pretty cold this time of year, by the way. I thought I was ready, but I needed a hat.
New York City!
And a got my gloves, so I'd buy them. But yeah, it's chilly, especially out at West Point, out there on the point, because it is on the point, and that wind coming between the mountains in there. But you know, there's a reason West Point's never been taken. Look at the positioning.
I have no idea what the positioning is. Describe it to me.
You need to go look at a map and see the waterway and all. Yeah, you're in trouble. You're going to go up in there. But yeah, nice piece of history. New York was pretty cool. We went to Rockefeller Center. Got a picture.
Yeah,
with
the whole
big
plaza
Christmas
there.
Tree
the tree and the skating rink
behind
us. You didn't go
so,
skating though, did you?
No, it was cold. I'm telling you, it was cold. I'm not acclimated to 30-degree weather, wind blowing, snow flurries coming down.
Yeah, it always sounds good, but when you go out there, it's like the last thing I want to do right now is slide around on a big brick of ice. I am freezing. Same thing, and there's a line to do it too. So I'm not going to wait for an hour to go slide around on a brick of ice when it's 25 degrees.
Man, there was a lot of people there too.
Was there snow on the ground? I mean, it's not going to be on the ground. It's kind of shoved off in the corners.
I didn't see any snow on the ground. It was cold. You could see the flurries, but nothing was sticking. Even from White Plains, the bus ride up to West Point would see ice, but didn't see any snow.
It's weird.
So imagine it'd been worse if it was snow as far as feeling cold and all that. It'd probably look beautiful with some of the areas that we went to see. So
it's a strange feeling though, us being from the deep south, having to go to work, having to walk through snow to get to work. And like, we're still doing this. Everyone's still going to work. I see snow on the ground. And everything doesn't grind to a halt.
Yeah, they're not having to worry about wrapping their water pipes or anything. They're acclimated and everything is prepared for 0-degree weather or whatever. I don't know what shuts them down. Probably nothing, unless the snow's in the way. I think the snow's the problem. If they get the snow off the street, yeah, they're all good to go.
We
don't even have to get there and we're shut down.
They sound so robust in the winter, but summer rolls around. They're like, it's going to be 88 degrees today. And they try and shut down work for that. Anyway, I just Just thought I'd be nosy about your trip, though. Good stuff. Glad to have you back, though, because the call volume drops off a little bit when you're gone, Gregory. I don't know if you've noticed that. But when the Hall of Fame financial advisor is not here to answer questions, we get fewer questions.
Well, if they're ready for questions, I'm here. We can take your call, 504-260-0995, and see if you have thoughts, concerns, what you're wanting to talk about. It can be Social Security, could be market volatility, which it's not. It's worse than volatility. It's the slide down is what's going on out there.
Yeah, volatility implies it's going both directions. This is mainly in one direction. In fact, you want to just go ahead and knock out the numbers while we're here? Because...
yeah.
This is the number segment where we tell you what happened in the financial world today. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at. Go to winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. There's a little number section. Dow Jones finished in the red, down 2%. That's 497 points. If Greg sometimes likes the nominal number, there you go. It does sound bigger when you say 497 points rather than just 2%. S&P was off about 2% as well. NASDAQ off 2.25%. And our small caps, the Russells, were off 1.5%.
Well, what it does is put those in correction territory now with that slide today. It was a rough one. And just looking at any chart you look at, like I'm looking at the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P, and it's pretty much upward, up and down, but continuously downward. Which, what does that mean? Lower lows, lower highs, continuously moving down as far as the market went today. And we didn't have the 10-year treasuries didn't move down too much from yesterday, but we've had a yield of 2.894%. Crude oil's at $51.23 a barrel. Brent crude is $60.25. Gold, just no significant move. Actually, gold's lost value, but it closed at $1,242.30. Silver, still in that area, it's $14.63, so no robust change. You know, running out there buying it, driving it up like the end is near. No, it's not anywhere near $10,000. You know, those commercials and such. It could go to $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's a long ways from it, and it's wow. Now, yeah, we've got the economy's good, the jobs numbers were decent the other day. Unemployment rates low and appear to be going well, except the market is selling. There's not buyers on the other side willing to pay those existing prices. They're just willing to pay lower prices.
So when you go look at the short sheet, one of the bigger losers today is Amazon, down 4%.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do we have an explanation for that one? Because Amazon, you would think at a time, wouldn't you almost associate Christmas and Amazon together? Like their fortunes are sort of joined at the hip here. And if Amazon's doing anything around Christmas time, it should be soaring. I know I did some Christmas shopping on Amazon. Gregory, do you actually shop on Amazon, or is that something where you tell Stacy to do it?
She mostly does it. I don't tell her to do it. Now, if there's something I'm wanting or something, we've got to order. I've got to order in for a few books and a couple more of those signing pads we use at the office. So we're opening other offices, so we're needing to get some of that stuff for that office. So I've just had somebody do the order.
Yeah, that little signature thing.
It's pretty awesome. I can just ask people to do the order, and boom, it's done.
Yeah, is that a startup we can throw like some money at?
What, a Siri and Alexa? Or I could say, hey, Sophie, I need these books and a couple signing pads, and boom, it happens.
That's nice. But the signing pad's like having Venmo. Here, let me just send you my signature. It's official. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm just also baffled that some of these other FANG stocks are doing so poorly today. Look, in a day where the market's down about 2%, Facebook is down 0.6%, but Apple's down 3.2, Amazon's down 4, Netflix down 3.3, and Microsoft is down more than 3% as well. So the FANGs are going the opposite direction than what we've been used to the last couple of years. And it is a stark contrast because the rest of the short sheet doesn't look that bad as the FANGs.
We had a client we spoke with this afternoon, market kind of like, yeah, just want to touch base, speak with you, see what's going on. You know, I'm getting worried. The market just keeps going down. I'm troubled by it. And he says, you know, maybe we should dial things back. Kind of mentioned, well, I don't think you've looked at your account today or last week. And that's okay. We don't want them to have to worry about it. But we said, well, you're probably about 95% in money market. You're not being impacted by what happened today or last week or the week before. We've already taken a position to protect values. He says, oh, great.
That's best case scenario if you're him, though. Hey, I think we should get out the market. Good news. We're out the market.
You've been out. Yeah.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We'll talk about some end-of-the-year financial planning you need to address, and we'll hear from Alan Greenspan, who's not so bullish on the fourth quarter GDP. I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at life. Hey, join us tomorrow. That's Saturday. We have another live show tomorrow. It's the weekly wrap that we do from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Jude Heath of J. Heath and Company, CPAs. He's going to help us out with some of the things you need to get squared away on your taxes, maybe deductions, other things that you might, hey, did you do this? Get this done. December 31st is near. And then what do we need to be doing beginning of the year to improve our situation as well? So we're covering that in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow. So have your phones ready to call in. We'll be live from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., 3-hour live extravaganza about money, which we all love some money. Spending it some if you're doing some Christmas stuff, some shopping. Hopefully within means. If not, well, you may be financing it. Be careful with that. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. This is Winning at Life. The phone number is 504-260-0995. Give us a call. Join the conversation.
Looking ahead at 2019 and really the reporting on the fourth quarter of 2018, former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan was on the Maria Bartiromo Morning Show on Fox Business, and he is not that optimistic about the fourth quarter. He is guessing that it will be between 2 and 2.5%.
Just wait until the fourth quarter number comes out. It's going to be down around 2.5%.
Why?
We have monthly data. We have monthly data which suggests that we're slowing down. We're not going negative, but we're definitely slowing down the rate of growth as we go into 2019, probably at a 2-2.5% pace maximum.
That sounds kind of pessimistic, but also sounds very believable. And I wouldn't be too shocked if he's right. Gregory, 2-2.5%, does that sound pretty reasonable to you too? You think Alan Greenspan's onto something here?
Well, I believe he has eyes on quite a bit of information, more than I expected. He's still pretty sharp, pretty attuned, and gosh, he's free to discuss it because he's not the Fed chairman. And you know what he told Maria, I'm looking at a lot of data. So I would take him at that it looks like the numbers are coming in slower. Going to need a heck of a December if he's looking at monthlies then to pull that up. I wonder how the market's going to digest that, but we'll see. But you know, and he's not the only one saying that things trending to slow, not what we expect and not what we need. We need a growing economy.
The predictions are a little all over the place here because we had two reports today, one from the Atlanta Fed. They actually raised their GDP growth projection for the fourth quarter to 3%. While the New York Fed, same day, this report came out 8 hours ago, they hold their growth predictions at 2.4%. So you have different branches of the Federal Reserve Bank with wildly different predictions on what the growth rate is going to be for the fourth quarter. But I'll point out here that they're not saying over 3%. The retail numbers have CNBC changing their forecast to 3%. But I'm not seeing a whole lot of plus 3% projections out there. So I'm kind of rethinking my position that I'm plus 3% sounds entirely possible.
And then we possibly have a Fed interest rate hike, which some seem to think that's still going to happen. I'm not, I'd already dial back my feeling about this. Are they? So if they're at a point, oh, we're raising it, but we're going to do a wait and see next year. Maybe there'll be one or two, maybe none. We're going to wait and see instead of forecasting and trying to hit a mark. But it makes me wonder, well, then why are you doing this one with what we're seeing going on? Kind of confused about it. Then what? Oh, government shutdown. Possible. How's the market going to absorb that? Not well. Not well at all.
So if it closes at 2.5%, I believe we could break 3% for the year, but that's sort of cutting it close, isn't it?
That's an improvement, right?
Yes.
It's an improvement. It just, the back end of it is not where we need it to be, which gives those folks saying, things are slowing coming forward. Big part of this, I think, and Phil and others do too, is what the Fed is doing with the quarter point raises and shrinking their balance sheet by over $50 billion a month. They're now under the $4 trillion number, taking money out the money slate. The tightening, no easing, they're tightening, and that is having a big effect. I think this bill they're having to get out here at the end of the year may well affect the government. The debt is becoming more of a concern. It's been a concern. It just hasn't been talked about for what, 2 years longer?
The debt?
Yeah. Oof.
It only shows up during election time. So,
well,
yeah,
there is.
Years.
It's not election time. It's past, but it's a problem.
Amen.
So it's causing some fears. I think what's going on in Washington is creating some uncertainty there. The change of the House flipping, the majority change sides. And I think that has concerns, and maybe companies are dialing back a little bit. So all this kind of can play into it. And then you had Europe also play into this, because they now said they're going to cease the easy money policy as well. Then we had the Prime Minister of England survive a vote. It's like the other day, it's like, oh my gosh, she's going to be out. So she survived that. But then the question was, she doesn't really have a plan for Brexit. So Brexit is up in the air. It's kind of a mess. Shall I go on?
I'm starting to think that the yellow vest protests that started in France are more of an economic protest than they want to lead on. The reporting on it at first was just ridiculous. They were like, they're protesting the high price of gas. I'm like, well, dude, gas is cheaper than it's been in a long time. So then
it's not for everybody globally.
Right. So really they're protesting gas taxes, but it's not really just the gas taxes. It's this whole thing where they're just trying to sop more money out of the citizenry and put it in the hands of the elite.
You understand it's how is oil priced? What we did it earlier. What's it priced in? Dollars. The dollar strengthening again too, despite what's going on. And what does that mean for them? Higher gas prices. Oh yeah, and they pay a lot of taxes on it too. Well, we do too. Maybe not as much as them, but that's one of the things that not always, but surprised me in Europe is how much they're paying for a gallon. Translate that as like, wow, when you look at it in euros and such, and it's expensive, it's impactive, and they're riding around in very small cars, little bitty engines.
Well, a few of them have cars, like less than 25% of the population of Spain has a car. You could say the same thing for Denmark, less than a quarter of them have a car.
Well, what about in England?
I don't know what the number is for England.
Okay.
You're asking a lot. Yeah, but gas prices in France right now, when you translate it, it's about $5.50 per gallon.
Yeah.
But I was...
That'd be rough here if it was $5.50.
That would be brutal here just for me. And you know how little I drive. But they've popped up with some of these protests now in Belgium. And I think they had the Dutch were throwing some around. And if it's expanding over borders, then it's not really them complaining about Macron's tax or some specific policy. It is sort of an economic philosophical protest. I think they're just done with a lot of these programs and a lot of these promises. And I don't dare want to say this is a pro-capitalism protest, but they're not down with the status quo of what the economic plan has been for Europe thus far. And I think this is more of an economic story than people are letting on, the yellow vest people. Is that just me being biased for the show or what?
No, but you know, when you think about fuel and taxes, that's an underlying problem, but it's affecting everything. You know, how do goods get from A to B? A truck costs fuel. To go get it from B in your car, it's costing fuel.
Whatever it is,
food,
it's a plane,
it's affecting
a truck.
Fuel. Fuel's affecting food prices and everything. So, yeah, they're suffering. And gosh, imagine if we were at $100 a barrel.
Where we were in 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And, yeah, those folks get fussy about, well, I think they would here too. It would affect all of a sudden, let's say 6 months from now, not even considering them across the pond, just if we were at 4.25 a gallon or something like that, that'd be impactive immediately. You're talking about sucking money out of households. Yeah.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to start running down our list of financial things you need to check on before the end of the year. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mix it on. Welcome back. And get you feeling right.
Yeah, after looking at those market numbers today, you might need him to fix you a drink.
Maybe two.
Maybe three. Yeah, help ease the pain, unless you've been listening to the show for a while and you might feel a lot better about things. Look, hey, I'm Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker. This is Winning at Life. We are Winning at Life. Join the nation. Download the app, Winning at Life app. Go to your app store and grab hold of that thing. It's free. So why not? Free is for me. If you want to join the conversation, get the phone, make the call, 504-260-0995. What we're seeing is indications of the market. Here's a quick synopsis, is lower highs, lower lows. The trend is continuing. And when you go and look at the past three motions down from the high, with time and price, we may have hit a bottom right here. May get a little bit of upswing before it moves down further again. So what our expectation is based upon what we're seeing is we wouldn't buy on this continuation of the dip, is how I feel about that. We're not buying. We're anticipating it further down.
All right. You want to start with the list or you want to go to Charles?
Let's see what Charles has going on over in Covington.
Charles in Covington, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, sir?
Evening, gentlemen. You actually just kind of answered my question. I have a thrift savings account, and I moved it to the, if I'm not mistaken, the G fund prior to the election on the idea that the markets were going to fluctuate heavily, and I didn't want to be in the markets prior to the election. So my question was, when should I move it back to other funds within the thrift savings account?
You didn't today, and you can't tomorrow and Sunday, so that's actually a good thing. The market's closed, so you can't push it in and get in trouble. We've got to see this thing moving back up, and we're not getting that. Now, moving up in a day doesn't get it done either. I'm pulling up a S&P 500 chart, which that's representing the large 500 large caps, and kind of looking there, and I'll show James on this chart, but you see this move, then move back up, move down, move back up. And what you're seeing, lower highs, and then we hit a lower low today, continuing that trend. So What we might see, even where we're going back here, we're matching up. So we could, if you're looking at the back in February, we could see some sideways movement. But don't get fooled by that. We've got to see some tendency where we're getting higher highs, higher lows, and maybe have to move up a good bit. It's just, the thing is, you could say, oh, this is the bottom, and get trapped, and this thing can move down further. And that's why I mentioned earlier in the show of concerns. You know, we've got a Fed meeting. We've got this budget deal is a problem. The technicals are all on sale. That hasn't changed, so I wouldn't want to jump out there in front of that bus and it not stop. It could continue heading downhill. So those are concerns. So it is not time yet. I can't tell you when it is, but if you're listening to the show, I'll give you an idea of what we're thinking on when and where to put money.
What do you think, Charles?
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, are you one of these guys that follows like a 200-day moving average or some other technicals that you kind of keep an eye on, Charles?
No, sir. I'm more like a five-year-old trying to play the market.
Well, honesty is right there in Charles' box, that's for sure.
One thing's doing it is listening to the show and being alert and reading. But no, this is not something easy for the faint of heart. You could do it in a way I disagree with and buy and hold, and it'll be better 40 years from now. That's kind of the Buffett way, but he buys and holds giant companies. So when he gives advice, you got to be careful because you're trying to live for now and retirement.
Or just the G fund, really.
Yeah.
Is all you
the G fund
about.
Is good, and you don't lose money when it's in stable value money markets such as that. We're in good shape. But yeah, this is ugly, but you know, we could see some move up where we had saw a low around 26.40. We had the market move up to 26.2760. Now in trading range, we saw 27.80 before the drop down to 2700. And then, and today, what did it close at, James? 26, where am I at? 25.99. So it dropped below 2600. Now, based on that, it could move back up, but if it's not going to break out into a new range, and that could take several days, but I don't know if this downturn is even through. We might be falling again on Monday. We're just going to have to go see what's happening on Monday. So hang in there, Charles.
Thanks, Charles. All right, let's go with getting our list of end-of-year financial planning. And I want to start on, I didn't do these in order on the little list I gave you. I'm going to start on number four, but we'll call this number one. The first thing you need to do is check on your emergency fund. Mine's a little light, Gregory. I hadn't been too good, but the emergency fund was there when I needed it, so it saved me.
Well, that's what happens to them, and then you have to rebuild them.
And that's priority number one. I want to move that to the top of the list, for at least for me, as simple as my investing life is right now, my financial world is, that needs to go back to number one.
So is it something you can fix now, or is this more like a goal, one of the things you want to do getting into next year is get that shored up as a priority?
It's a goal, but it's a medium-term goal. I can probably do it if I just buck up for about 2 or 3 months. I can get that back where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is something to think about. You, and not only at year end, but where are you? Is there anything else going to hit that, and how's it going to look next year? And yeah, you have to shore it up.
It's becoming like a habit though, because now when an unexpected expense pops up, it's not one of these things where I say, well, thank goodness we can have this credit card we can put it on. I haven't had to say that in a couple of years.
That is a great change of thinking. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what a lot of people use credit card for. And then they don't pay it back down. And then, oh, gosh, we're full of that. We've got to get another one. Next thing you know, you owe a bunch of money like the federal government.
All right, the next one. This is number three on the list. Find out how much you have contributed to your retirement plan and how much you can still contribute. And this is the best time of year to do that, especially if you have a wonky income setup. But are you down with that? Is that some pretty solid end of year advice?
Well, yeah. And what you want to see is where you're at. Did you max out the plan? Hey, some of it want to be careful this, because what if you've maxed your plan? You know, my wife actually on the last pay period had hit her max contributions for the year. So she's not getting any contribution on the last pay period of the year. So it was sure about timing, but I'd asked our accountant about it. And she said, they're the administrators of the 401k are on top of that. She did the contribution that maxed her out and she's not done. I said, well, what about mine? She says, you're squared away. You get to contribute to the end.
Yeah, you've told stories year. About that, though. People who have already passed the max when they walk into your office and we're like, hey, there's some penalties coming up. We got to stop this.
Excess contributions in your 401k has to be corrected. That's under ERISA rules. But if you're doing that on your IRA or something, and the next thing you know is, gosh, I did $500 too much. You're going to need to get that fixed. So that's something to look at as part of the year end is make sure you're not overfunding that and missing that.
Mike Picayune, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
I got a question. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is in retiring at 64 and 65 as far as Social Security benefits. Does it make that much difference?
It roughly about 8% reduction.
8%.
What year were you born?
Well, it's 54. It's actually my girlfriend. I'm trying to okay. make some decisions, you know. And how does it affect if you keep working? Can you keep working, and does that affect your Social Security?
Okay, if you're retiring before full retirement age, then you're subject to a cap on earnings before they start taking money back, and that's about $17,000. So you need to be aware of that if you're turning it on early. And if you're making good money, going to break that cap, I'd wonder, why are you turning it on when you're going to still work and your benefit can keep increasing versus turning it on now?
You good, Mike? You need more time?
She doesn't make much money.
All right, hey, we got to run. Hang on, Mike. We'll be right back. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. This is Winning It Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker here as well. 504. Yeah, phone number to call in the show, 504-260-0995. We've got Mike on hold from Picayune, so we're going to bring him back up so we can talk to him a little bit more. He's got what he described, a girlfriend, age 64, not making much money, considering turning on Social Security early, which her full retirement age for Social Security is age 66, if born in 1954. So she's trying to turn it on neighborhood of 2 years early. Now, Mike, remember, when they're crediting, you know, we kind of look at it on an annual basis, but it is month to month to month crediting. So it isn't, say, well, she's turning on that, well, it's going to be a 16% reduction. It just depends on what month she is into the year. But not only does turning it on now affect her Social Security, she's, I don't know how her health insurance is taken care of, but
she doesn't have
the job. Okay. But she's not eligible for Medicare either in that case, because she's not 65 yet. So you said she's not making much money. Give me a range, like in 10,000. Thousands. Okay. Well, that's not going to be any clawback by Social Security, so to speak, on that. So gosh,
does she have health insurance?
And this is why people turn it on. He said she doesn't have health insurance. But one of the reason people turn it on early is they need the money, and that's kind of what dictates that.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, and if it's an 8% difference in waiting a year,
has she looked into what it would be if she turned it on now?
No, that's what I was going to call Monday to find out what the payout would be.
Okay.
You know, you can go online and figure it out in minutes.
Yeah, they have calculators.
Next week, you know, so it'd be 2 full years to go to full retirement. Would be 66, right?
Right.
Yeah, because she turns next week, would be her 64th birthday. So it'd be 2 full years to wait for full retirement. You know, if she could still work, and it would not affect her Social Security check. You know, it'd be, you know, an additional income for her, actually.
Yeah. Well, it might be, really comes right down to that. Any future projected change in that relationship?
As far as?
She's your girlfriend. Is there going to be a change in that? Would it be defined by another title?
No.
What I'm getting at is, you know, she might be eligible to draw off your benefits if you were to be married and so forth.
No,
I'm
on disability and,
okay.
No, that's not going to. Hey,
we don't want to pressure anybody, Mike.
No,
we're just trying
to explore where things were going. Hey, hopefully this helps you, and let us know if we can help in the future. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap.
Thanks, Mike. I feel bad pushing on that subject because that was my entire 20s. You know, when are you going to get married? When are you going
to
settle down?
Expecting the answer is no. So that's where she's at, and she's probably likely to turn that on even when they explore the numbers, because, you know, and we don't know what her benefit is. We didn't hear that. But heck, if her benefit is $10,000, just put that out there, and she's making it, she doubles her income right there. I would say that is significant.
Can I just play devil's advocate?
Okay.
I know this is going to sound worse than I intend, but
we maybe shouldn't.
I know. That's why I'm putting the caveat in front of it. Okay. The warning is out there.
I may have to dump this segment right here.
Right. You got the dump button. If she's getting by on her income this year, why can't she do it next year?
That's a good question, but there might be some income stress, bill stress, need stress that's causing this. What if you turned it on now, you're boosting your income and it releases? Because there's a reason the inquiry's being made.
Yeah.
There's more information there we don't have. So the question comes, and what's behind that question? But there's a need of more income.
There's probably a good reason, but if it's not that deep of a reason, then remember, you get an 8% raise every year you wait. If you can wait till 70, that's when you get the biggest check. And if that's the only thing you got going.
Yeah. So what's the percent? Give it. And I know you know this number because we covered it many times. So I'm going to ask you, what's the percentage of people that turn Social Security on before full retirement age?
Oh, a little bit more than half now.
Yeah, it's more than half.
Yeah.
And that's why they need or want that money at that time. Can they get more by waiting? Is waiting better? Yes, because you're drawing more money.
If you can. But she might not. I understand that too.
Where were we on this list?
End of year financial planning. Let's just touch on this one. And I know we're going to talk more with this about with Jude Heath tomorrow at 11 o'clock on the Saturday show. But when we talk about reviewing your taxable investment accounts for gains or losses, isn't this the term I love so much called when you harvest your losses? So if you have some stocks that are performing,
hopefully you harvest gains.
Either way.
And you could be harvesting some losses.
It's just a very theatrical way to say
it. To offset the gains or taxable amounts, something to review where you're at in your portfolio and options on selling something there, or where you've tally everything up and see, is there anything you can do at this point that would help improve your tax situation? Not hurt it, of course, and see where you are on contributions, 401ks. And we talked a few minutes ago about reviewing to make sure you don't over contribute, have an excess contribution. But what if you are under contributing? Can you make that up this year? Hey, just take my whole next check. I don't need it, but I want it to go in my 401k. Or you could put more into the IRA. Okay, well, I could max it if I put in another $600. Well, can you afford that? Look at maxing those opportunities, or whether it's your Roth.
Well, when we have volatility like we saw this year, there's a good chance you've already harvested some losses. You just need to go realize what you've already done by getting out of the pool over the last few months. Next one, review your financial plan. I don't want to use the term rebalance because that's just one small part of reviewing your overall financial plan, but that's part of it.
Yeah, you need to see where you're at and where you're headed. I think that's why there's always an annual review, and you know how we use the guided planning system is where are you from where you started, where you've been, maybe the previous year. And with that said, how does it look going down that financial path? Because you're trying to reach a financial destination. So we always kind of look out that what's the next 15 years look like. So we want to have an idea. So that's kind of suggestion. If you're not working with us, you might not be able to have that view. But what you need to see is, where are you going? And look, could it be you're getting a raise? You know, like, yeah. Or you got a Christmas bonus, or you get a year-end bonus or profit. You get bonus money. What can you do with that in next year to enhance your path going down the road? Or you kind of think, gosh, things are changing. I need to be adjusting. I'm going to have to dial some things back. It can be all kind of that. But this is time to start looking at where you're finishing up and moving into next year. And that kind of adds a sense of goal setting. And I think some of the upcoming shows, we'll talk about that further out in the year about financial goal setting. Give you some ideas there.
You come to the show all the time with stories about people who just have a change of heart. They're like, all right, well, I'm done with risk now. I'm getting close to retirement. Let's just move to safety. And this is the perfect time to sort of reassess.
Well, the realization is people getting close to retirement, all of a sudden, love risk. And then all of a sudden, oh no, I am not wanting to do this. And so their mindset has changed. But I also say is you don't have to have risk to make money. You don't have to or have everything in risk to make money. There are conservative and there are principal protected strategies you could take advantage of. And that's part of maybe this year end is a good time to reassess that, you know, this 2018 is crazy. I don't want my 2019 to look like that. So what else should consider doing?
Okay. Two more things on the list. One of them is review your insurance coverage. That's totally self-explanatory. But the last one, look over your estate planning documents. And this is for if you've had a major life change where if you or someone downstream, there's been a birth, a death, a marriage, a divorce, someone fell into ill health, someone fell into a bunch of money. Estate planning documents deserve a second look right now.
Yes, if something's changed, it should be reviewed. Those should be something you review every year. And maybe to set a goal that you do that every December, no matter what, or January, and just make it as an annual ritual. If you like information like this, and this is all stressing you and kind of like, gosh, I need some help. I want an alternative. I want another direction. I want different help. Call my office, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go download that app. Absolutely free. You can catch all our podcasts on demand, connect to the show and all of our partners as well. I'm James Parker. Let's do this again tomorrow at 10. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.